This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and writing in children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The chief of the Environmental Protection Agency told Congress in 2010, quote, "The science behind climate change is settled, and human activity is responsible for global warming," close quote. He sounded like he thought he was Moses coming down from the mountain to give us the final word on the future. However, a new book by Steve Gorham called The Mad, Mad, Mad World of Climatism says that the very nature of science is that nothing is ever settled, and new evidence must always be subjected to debate and peer review. Climatism is the word for the belief that man-made greenhouse gases are destroying Earth's climate. Climatists continue to claim that warming trends exist and that we humans are responsible for it. Scientific evidence shows that warming trends occur naturally. Climate change is real and continuous. Winter storms, summer heat, drought, hurricanes, tornadoes, and tsunamis are all blamed by these scientists on man's misuse of the planet. Extreme weather events are used to push expensive policies on the public. Freedom and capitalism are not compatible with the doctrine of environmental sustainability, which calls for these elites to direct the activities of mankind to preserve the planet. Government subsidies, tax breaks, and penalties have benefited some companies greatly, so that some in the scientific community have supported climatism. When scientists dispute man-made warming, attempts are made to keep them silent. One member of the American Physical Society said, "The global warming scam is the most successful pseudo-scientific fraud I have seen in my life as a physicist." To get the real side of the story, you can read Steve Gorham's provocative new book called The Mad, Mad, Mad World of Climatism.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Is global warming an imaginary threat? Is it authentic science or politics? Is it about the future of humanity or about money and power? At eagleforum.org, a blog with Phyllis Schlafly delivers the latest news and opinions. Add your comments to the Climate Change blog at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
There's no reason to be sick this season with Supernatural Silver's incredible technology. You can give your immune system the support it needs to help fight off colds, flus, and other nasty pathogens that can ruin the holidays for you and those you love. Used internally or topically, Supernatural Silver is a great defense against sore throats, runny noses, sinus or ear infections, and a whole host of other illnesses. Supernatural Silver is extremely safe and a great way to protect yourself and the ones you love. No one knows what the future may bring, so be smart and plan ahead. Have Supernatural Silver in your emergency preparedness arsenal, and give someone a gift that's meaningful, a gift that can change lives. Give the gift of good health this year. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2013 for 20% off your entire order. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. And like us on Facebook.
Extend your life. with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the frigid suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN, whose website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com, where you will see every single guest that I've ever had on the program since October 23rd, 2010, as well as links to their websites. Just visit the website, my website, and click on the radio schedule button. Please also visit SpingolaSpeaks.info, a site that one of our wonderful, very skilled listeners created. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour when we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Rodney Martin, the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org. Rodney, did the Internet Gestapo verify your virtual papers in preparation for your appearance on this program?
Oh, I don't know if the Gestapo did. Maybe the Internet NKVD or Stasi. But, you know, it's cold out here, Deanna, out here in California, too. It's just really cold in the teepee. So, you know, it's just icicles out, and, you know, we have to form talking circles and such. But we're doing really, really well out here in California. It's, you know, the citrus farmers out here are losing crops. It's the temperatures have really dropped out here. And you know, we were talking before the show, and you know, it's gotten down to the, you know, high 20s, and it's just amazing this weather. I don't know what this farce about global warming is all about. Tell it to the citrus farmers out here in California, because they're just they're taking it in the shorts.
Well, that's very interesting, because the Florida growers, citrus growers, are all of a sudden besieged by this insect, and Their fruit is coming off about half the size that it should be. It's very bitter, and it's all attributed to this insect. And so I kind of have to wonder. Of course, I'm very suspicious by nature, and I think, well, that's pretty suspicious.
Well, you know, you just can't believe, and I tell you from firsthand experience, if it's in the media, if it's done by a mainstream reporter, don't believe it. If you're going to believe and base information off mainstream press, then go drink Jim Jones Kool-Aid or Alex Jones Kool-Aid. You just can't rely on it. And
of course.
But anyway, it's interesting. But I do know that the citrus farmers out here are losing a lot of crops. I went for a drive early the morning a few days ago, and I can tell you there was just ice forming on the oranges and the lemons, and I felt really bad for them.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a really big thing. And of course, when I heard about this insect, I was thinking, I wonder who imported those insects and planted them in the orange groves in Florida. Because, people in Florida and in California have been growing oranges for generation upon generation. And now all of a sudden, they have a problem in California and in Florida at the same time. That's a little suspicious.
Well, the only insect I know that causes problems that results in shortages and an increase in prices is begins with a J. And so so I think that it has more to do with economics and a certain type of parasite that we've talked about quite frequently on your show.
Interesting. All righty. So today we're going to talk about the Gestapo fact versus fiction. And, of course, we all know what the Gestapo was because we've all been to the movies, and we know that Hollywood has produced a lot of very accurate films about those mean, nasty Nazis and the Gestapo.
Absolutely.
And you're going to try and tell us differently, right?
It's hilarious because we've been indoctrinated by Hollywood and SPLC and the ADL, and some people believe that those websites are great, reliable sources. I do not. But Hollywood's really created this imprint on people's mind that the Gestapo was this huge Nazi political organization. And we're going to find that it actually was not. It was a police force, and it was huge, and it was intrusive. And they were just a Gestapo man on every corner saying papers, please, and kicking in doors and hauling people off to camps. And people have, find it, synonymous with the SS. And that is all absolutely patently false. We're going to find out during the course of this show, which, by the way, let me note that this is a listener requested show, Deanne. I think you got the same emails that I did from at least two listeners that I can recall, maybe three. And there were some comments in the chat room in prior shows asking for this show about the Gestapo. And listeners ask and you shall receive. And I think this is a great topic because a lot of people have those misconceptions. Hollywood, that campaign, Deanna, has become so successful that people have transposed that. Anytime people get a parking ticket, they say, oh, the parking Nazi or the parking Gestapo. If they have some rant against something that they think is excessive force or excessive government intrusion, they transpose and they create the word Gestapo. Oh, you have to get a fine on an overdue library book. They say library Gestapo or library Nazi. And that's all as a result of this Jewish Hollywood campaign to make the Gestapo, the Nazis, the SS into something that they absolutely were not. And the greatest source and the people to ask about that are none other than German scholars who have actually studied post-war the Gestapo structure, organization, and files, and then also studied the post-war after the fall of the GDR, the German Democratic Republic, the communist enclave, and looked at the Stasi. And we're going to compare and contrast. We're going to look at the Stasi as a comparison. And we're going to look at other organizations as well when we talk about secret police. And let me just make a current events comparison. Need I say the revelations we've heard from about this young man that's taken refuge in the former Soviet Union, Russia? His name escapes my right now, who revealed all of the intelligence leaks. He's still revealing that Putin has given him sanctuary. If you were to look at that, think about the NSA, what the NSA has done. The NSA is much, much larger, much more intrusive, has much more technological toys to spy. I mean, just think, think about the scanners at airports. Think about your emails. Think about your telephone conversations. And the NSA doesn't even need to have a large, physical force in terms of manpower to be able to do far more things that are intrusive than what the Gestapo has been accused of doing that they actually did not do. And we're going to learn about that. Think of the things that the FBI did after post-World War II to the present. It's far more intrusive than anything the Gestapo ever did. We're going to talk about some of the things that the Gestapo did. As a matter of fact, I know of an individual that actually talked to a German that had immigrated to the United States who had one interesting story about the Gestapo. And I'll relay this just to kind of open the show, and then we'll get into kind of the details about the Gestapo, what it was and what it was not.
Okay. Well, we are going to go to a quick 3-minute break, and we'll get back to this after a word from our sponsors. So stay tuned.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steenblok has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steenblok and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steenblok is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. Now, the Gestapo was formed April 26, 1933, so that's a pretty new agency, relatively speaking.
Yes, keep in mind, Hitler came to power in a coalition government on January the 30th, 1933, with the German nationalists, and keep in mind, that was still Weimar. President von Hindenburg was still... as the president, and the president under Weimar was still pretty strong. He could dismiss the chancellor, could dissolve the Reichstag. He could actually rule the country. He could ultimately call out the army, which he did. I mean, which he threatened to do on a couple of occasions. So you were still in a Weimar type of situation. But it's important to note that the Gestapo was not a political police force that was in existence as an arm of the NSDAP when they came to power. We're going to cover that. But just for references of some good books, Heinz Hohn wrote The Order of the Death's Head.
I have that book.
It's an excellent book. Now, he's been criticized by several what I consider court historians after the fact, but it's a good book. He's a German. He actually served, was called up to duty by the Wehrmacht in Home Army in World War II, and he lays it all out. And he's been criticized because they say the book is not anti-Nazi enough. But as far as you and I have talked about before, Deanna, as my grandmother used to say, you got to look for diamonds in the cat box. There is a lot of diamonds in this particular book. And so I do recommend reading that book, and a lot of material that I've pulled up to prepare for today's show has come from that book, primarily from that book and a few other sources as well. So I do recommend that book. But you're correct. That's when the Gestapo was formed, and it was formed by Hermann Göring when he was appointed director or president of the Prussian police forces as Prussian interior minister. Keep in mind, I'm not going to get too much into the political subdivisions of Germany, but when the Weimar Republic was formed, it didn't substantially change the political subdivisions of the old Imperial Germany very much. The state of Prussia, the nation of Prussia, was preserved. It was the dominant political subdivision. And so the interior minister, and of course, there was also the prime minister of Prussia. That was Hermann Göring as well, was an incredibly strong position. It was mainly, if you were the interior minister of Prussia, you had the power to appoint basically most of the policing powers in Germany, and that fell to Hermann Göring. And so Hermann Göring did, when he was named Interior Minister of Prussia, that was the largest police force fell under his control. And a lot of people, when they think of the police forces and all that in Germany, they automatically think Heinrich Himmler. That was not the case in the early days of Adolf Hitler's chancellorship. And so Hermann Göring was concerned about what they were inheriting, the decadence of Weimar, not to mention all of these political opponents, the communists, the Marxists, the anarchists, and all of that. So he did want to form a state security police and state security apparatus. And so he formed a political intelligence sections and pulled them together and formed the Gestapo under the command of Rudolf Diels. And now Rudolf Diels was an interesting person. I want to talk about him for a little bit. And I also want to talk about the Gestapo in terms of a picture of everything that the NSDAP and Hitler had to deal with in general. Someone just asked for the book title again. It's called The Order of the Death's Head. And I do recommend getting that book. Put it on your Christmas reading or your winter reading list. But Rudolf Diels was an interesting person. He was a Göring protege, and he was somewhat flamboyant, very charismatic, but a dedicated member of the NSDAP, very loyal to Hitler, very loyal to Göring. He was detested by Himmler. Himmler had it out for him. They just didn't like it. The personality battles kind of reminds you of the white movement in the United States. Sometimes people just don't like other people, and they just, they're out to get them. Well, Himmler did not like Rudolf Diels. As a matter of fact, during the Night of the Long Knives, there was an attempt to throw Rudolf Diels' name on the list, and Göring said, no, his name's not going to be on the list. And Goering put him on a gave him a job elsewhere when the Gestapo and the police forces transferred from Goering's director from Goering's supervision to Heinrich Himmler. Diels also had was quite the, shall we say, ladies' man. He had the a relationship and dated the American ambassador at the time, Martha. I believe her name was Martha Dodd.
Yeah, and she dated a lot of interesting people.
Well, yeah, she dated National Socialists. Yes, she was. And you know that her that relationship is memorialized in Eric Larson's book, In the Garden of the Beast. Now, I don't like that book, but it has a few diamonds in that cat box. And it talks of, you know, she actually ended up marrying a communist and became a, she was a communist herself.
Yeah.
And she, yeah, she died. I believe she died in exile in the East Bloc. But, she, you know, her and Diels had a relationship. Now, that did not make Diels a communist. Quite the opposite. Diels was a dedicated National Socialist. He was just part of that personality battle. As a matter of fact, why I want to talk about Diels a little bit, Deanna, is he early on identified Gregor Strasser as a traitor. And he actually, you know, he was pretty close. I would submit that had Diels been able to stay on the job, he would have been far more effective in rooting out the real traitors, you know, the ones that would later emerge in 1938 that were willing to stage a coup d'etat over the Czechoslovakian crisis and then would later attempt to assassinate Hitler in 1944. Diels is really close to – Diels early on – ordered the arrest and execution of Gregor Strasser before the Night of the Long Knives. And the person that he ordered to carry it out was an SS man by the name of Arthur Neber, who would go on to command one of the Einsatzgruppen units and would later be found out to be a member of the so-called, quote, resistance, as everybody talks about, and was later executed in March 1945 with the rest of the July 20th traitors. But Diels was I think, is one of those persons that's underrated. But because he was got caught up in one of these silly personality battles and was basically sidetracked, and ended up basically a mid-level police position in one of the German provinces. He survived the war and worked in the West German, one of the West German provinces, and died, died as an elderly person in the 1950s. But mm-hmm. he also
57. But do you think that the communist assigned Martha Dodd to appeal to him?
No doubt.
And he was vulnerable?
Let's remember, Deanna, the communists were absolute perfectionists at using women agents and to appeal to the weakness of men.
Oh, exactly.
They some of their best agents, communists, were not male agents. They were female. Let's remember also that the communists, okay, I get a comment from the chat room to slow down, so I will slow down. Somebody's taking notes. some of their best snipers during the Red Army snipers were females. The Wehrmacht soldiers on the Eastern Front did not want to fall into the hands of the female Red Army troops. They were
treacherous.
Yes. So I agree with you 100%. I believe that Martha Dodd was an active agent, and she was one of those that the pillow talk was spying.
Oh yes. All righty, we are going to a quick break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com has solutions. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorne. Glucosamine Chondroitin. Sea Cucumber, Colloidal Minerals, Superfam, and Super Male Plex, Colon Enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cow Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit HerbalHealer.com today. HerbalHealer.com. That's HerbalHealer.com.
Excuse me, welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org. And we're talking about the Gestapo. We're talking about Martha Dodd. And
let me correct myself about Diels. I had actually confused him in my notes with Emil Maurice, who actually was the first head of the brown shirts. Maurice actually was relatively young. He was about 57 or 58, and he died in West Germany after having a career in the West German provincial like legislature and legislative what we would call the provincial or state government. And he actually died by an gun accidentally discharged, and he killed himself. Not a suicide, it was an accidental firearm discharge. But what I am focusing on Diels is he had actually identified early on in his tenure as head of the Gestapo that Strasser, you know, needed to go, and had ordered Arthur Neighbor, and I'll cover him, because here is an example of what the National Socialists had to deal with all of these communist and double agents and treasonous elements. We think about the some of the civil servants that were duplicitous, and Hitler had to deal with that. We talk about what he had to deal with in the army, particularly in the Wehrmacht. You know, in 1938, during the Czech crisis, they were nervous about Hitler having to, you know, the Sudeten issue, and then the Sudeten issue, and they were willing to take over then. And then Chamberlain agreed that the Sudetenland belonged to Germany, and they signed it over an international agreement. But it's important to note that there was going to be a coup d'etat, a full-blown coup d'etat by military officers and civil servants in 1938, and there was SS involvement in that. I mean, the SS, and I'm going to cover the reason why, not SS, I'm talking about Gestapo involvement in that. I'm going to cover the reason why. And Diels was, you know, when he took over as head of the Gestapo, he was dedicated and was doing his job. But also, another point, he was the person who interrogated van der Lubbe, who burned down the Reichstag. And as we note, Diels lived, you know, he was basically sidetracked. They were, Himmler and Heydrich didn't particularly like him for personal matters. They never accused him of being a traitor. They just didn't like him. They didn't think he fit in. Goering was his benefactor, saved him, gave him a job throughout the Third Reich period. He survived the war, worked in West Germany. He wrote two books. He wrote about his time as head of the Gestapo and during the National Socialist period, and then he wrote about an expose and his thoughts on the West German intelligence chief who defected to the East Germans and then came back and then served a term in prison for about 4 or 5 years for treason. He wrote two books. Now, Diels, to his dying day, never ever said that the Reichstag fire was a false flag. In fact, he said that, you know, he interrogated van der Lubbe. The van der Lubbe was, you know, was a communist, and that it was indeed a, you know, what was stated at the time was true, that it was a communist plot to destabilize the government, destabilized the, you know, German society. So anybody that still clings to this, when you hear people say, "Oh, this is just like the Reichstag fire to take away civil liberties," right, that's just patently false. The Reichstag Absolutely. Fire, you know, was reported. It's also important to note that I believe the 5 or 6 or 7 people that were put on trial for the Reichstag fire, there were half of them were acquitted by the German court. There was acquittals in that trial. And as through the whole Third Reich period, and we've talked about this on your show about the German judiciary, there was even acquittals before Judge Freisler's People's Court in National Socialist Germany. So the judicial system and the Gestapo worked, was it harsh by today's standards? Yes, and that goes to the story. I was going to digress and tell you a little story. And this is related to a German that immigrated to the United States and told this to a friend of mine, and I have every reason to believe it's accurate based on the oral histories that I've done. This goes to the false narrative about how the Gestapo operated. This German said he was actually picked up and taken to a Gestapo station. And it wasn't the famous Gestapo headquarters, but this took place in Berlin. And he was parked with a young German female. And they were probably engaged in some sort of affectionate interaction. And they got a tap on the window of the car, and it was two Gestapo men, and said, "You must come with me, and the other officer is going to take the young lady home." And during the drive to the field headquarters, the Gestapo officer gave him a lecture about proper conduct, that they should not be doing that in an automobile, a motor car, or whatever they called it. Mm-hmm. But when they got there, they questioned him, and he was pretty satisfied it was innocent. It was just two young people, you know, doing what young people do in a car. And he said, "And by the way, next time you park in a car, on a street, make sure you don't do it in front of Reichsfuhrer Himmler's house. That's what they were picked up about, is it was two people parked in front of a high German official's house, and they were just checking it out. Now, that's perfectly normal. I mean, think about what would happen if that was, you know, here in the United States. They would probably take them to Guantanamo, or they would do some sort of interrogation. They'd send them over to Warsaw, Poland, where they had those secret black op prisons. But I mean, that was the type of conduct that he said he was not pistol whipped. They didn't put the light on him. You know, they did ask him for his identity papers, which he gave him. He said it was a very professional interrogation. He said, "I just want to know what you were doing there," and that was it. He said it was probably about 25 minutes. And he said that when he talked to his late girlfriend, that she said it was the officer that took her home was very well mannered. He asked her just two questions, you know, what is that person's name and how long have you known him? And that was it. I mean, they didn't even question her. And but the whole issue was what prompted it was they were parked for a prolonged period of time in front of Himmler's house. And it's kind of interesting that it was just a house that was sitting on a Berlin street. So that kind of gives you an idea. And this kind of goes to the review of records, which we'll talk about a little bit later, that German scholars have done about just how big the Gestapo wasn't. And I want to stress that, just how big the Gestapo wasn't.
You know, I think it's kind of interesting that they really put more of the responsibility for that, the behavior, on the gentleman instead of on the girl, as if to say, hey, you should be more respectful. And I just think that's kind of the German way.
Yeah, it's a way we used to be here as well. We had used to have high standards. And, you know, it was just interesting. Again, now that was relayed to me third party. The German had told it to a very good friend of mine, and I have no reason to doubt the source, because it actually fits what has come out just in the research I have done, but also the research that has been done in Germany when they have reviewed the Gestapo records, and then they've also compared and contrasted them with the Stasi records. Now, the next point I wanted to cover, we'd had a question from the chat room about the various departments within the Gestapo. I'm going to cover that in detail. But let's, as you indicated, Deanna, the Gestapo was formed. I wanted to reinforce that. It was formed in 1933 by Hermann Göring when the NSDAP entered the government, because they had just come, you know, they were having to deal with all of the Weimar anarchy. Keep in mind, the communists had their sights on Germany. It's important to note that the KPD, the German Communist Party, was receiving aid and comfort and funding and arms from the Soviet Union. And Germans knew this, and they had a lot of sympathizers. And so Hermann Göring at the time knew that they needed some sort of, you know, call it a secret police force. It really wasn't secret. As Germans I've known said that they stood out like a sore thumb. Everybody knew what a Gestapo agent was, and they would identify themselves. You know, they'd pull up in a car, they'd have the little ID badge on the chain on the inside of their jacket, and they would identify themselves. And they would never grab you and pistol whip you and throw you into, yeah, it wasn't like Major Hochstetter, as we're seeing in the chat room. It wasn't, they weren't anything like that. They were very well mannered. You can actually access their code of conduct, how they were told and ordered to conduct themselves, to how they were ordered to treat Germans. There are memorandums and documents in the German archives where Himmler is ordering his agents, you do not kick in doors, you knock. You would, in a lot of cases, they would send very, very polite letters saying, there's an urgent matter, an important matter, we need to talk to you. Can you please call the Gestapo office to make an appointment?
Exactly. You mean, it's not like America where they kick down your door and kill your pet parakeet, right?
That parakeet's very dangerous, Anna.
Yes, we will be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, veteran-owned and operated.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next-generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free, at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Woo. Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin, the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org. Alrighty, so we definitely, the Gestapo is nothing like the Department of Homeland Security and their SWAT teams.
Yeah, it has a very daunting name, Gestapo. But really, if we compare it, let's look at Stalin's Soviet Union. You know, he's famous for his purges, executed, general staff, his officer corps, put in these hardcore commissars, And that served him well. Let's be honest. It served him well ultimately, because he had endless amounts of resources and material. The Germans, the NSDAP, didn't do this. And let's look at the Gestapo as far as a whole. The Gestapo officers came from the police forces throughout the German Reich. They were Weimar. They were from the Weimar Republic. Keep in mind, the Weimar Republic had both in terms of the Reichswehr and of their police force. They were a very there was a firewall as far as political party involvement and such. That didn't mean that as individuals they didn't have political views. And that proved to be a problem. So you had Gestapo officers that were pulled from essentially the police forces throughout the various provinces and states of the Weimar Republic to form, you know, to be the core nucleus of this and to be officers in this new Gestapo, which wasn't very large at all. In fact, we can look at some of the numbers. I think we have, what, about 10 minutes in this first hour. But, you know, it's interesting. And they weren't, you know, we look at these numbers. There was, by 1939, which by that time the NSDAP had really consolidated, you can say consolidated their overall hold on the government. Only, you know, I've seen one number, stat, in the northern Germany alone of 20,000 Gestapo agents. Only 3,000 of them were members of the SS, held SS upper echelon ranks. The head of the Gestapo, we're going to talk more about him, Heinrich Mueller, was not an NSDAP member. And we'll get into him because he is truly a fascinating person. Heinrich Mueller, who has a nickname Gestapo Mueller, was a career police civil servant and a more or less a dedicated German nationalist. And of course, he makes several appearances. He was at the Wannsee conference, worked very close with Heydrich, but we'll talk more about him in the second hour. A very, very effective bureaucratic tactician and police official. And what you've seen in the development of the Gestapo and other entities by the NSDAP as they rebuilt German institutions and Aryanized German institutions was they were more concerned with having the best and the brightest Aryans and removing the Jewish influence initially as they were built, you know, restoring Germany. Then there were some in the NSDAP as well, once we get rid of the Jews, you know, we need to really take a look at some of the problems, per se, of those that aren't absolutely true, you know, don't absolutely hold our ideology at heart. And they did have that problem. And I go back to Arthur Naber. Arthur Naber was not an NSDAP member until 1930. I talked about him. He was the one that Diels had tasked to get rid of Strasser before the Night of the Long Knives. And it was that order, if you read several books, including Strasser, you know the Strasser that got away, and we talked about right. him on your Canada. on your show. Yeah, yeah. He held Naber in high regard, which is kind of interesting. But Naber was providing SS intelligence and Gestapo intelligence information to the so-called German opposition as early as 1937 and was actively involved in the 1938 plot over the Czechoslovakia. He worked very closely with Hans Oster and was actually coordinating and was revealing the SS logistics as far as manpower and assets to the so-called German opposition so that if they did carry out the coup in 1938, the German military units that were going to act on the coup would know how to neutralize the SS and Gestapo units. And of course, that never happened because of the Munich Agreement and the international agreement that resolved the Czechoslovakian and the Sudetenland issues alone. But he would go on to be one of those quiet traitors within the SS and Gestapo organization, and then was subsequently caught and was rounded up in the big net as a result of the July 20th plot. But there you have a situation that because the initial goal of the NSDAP in building and restoring German institutions between 1933, when they assumed power in January of 33, up through 1934, 35, 36, 37, 38, was to remove the Jewish influence, remove them. They passed a law, the Reich Civil Service Act, and that removed all the Jews from the German civil service and all the positions, and then they made sure that Aryans held those positions. But they never quite addressed the issue effectively, in my opinion, looking at it historically. And again, I've always said, you cannot judge historical actions, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago based on today's history. But right, you can logically conclude that they didn't quite address the issue. Well, we've got Aryans all in the positions, but wait a minute. There's Aryans that are, you know, don't quite hold our 100% to the direction where we're going, and we better start looking at that. They didn't react to those situations until there was crisis. For instance, they weren't aware of the pending coup in 1938 over the Czechoslovakian issue. And of course, Stauffenberg and that coup, there were several resistance groups that finally joined forces, resulting in Stauffenberg being able to walk in and put a bomb in a briefcase in a cowardly act under a table, which we talked about.
Sure.
And of course, they were, you know, to realize that it was a much broader group than what they anticipated, and it stretched not only into the German army, but into the Foreign Office, into the civil service, and even into the SS. And that deeply bothered Himmler. And then after July 44, you started seeing, and of course, the best way to depict that is to see the famous speech by Otto Ernst Rehmer, where he's given that speech in the outset to the Berlin garrison, Grossdeutschland, where he is saying that his garrison will now use the famous Hitler, what they call the Hitler salute, and that they were going to integrate National Socialism into the armed forces. One could make the case that that was too little, too late. They should have done that earlier on. But there was a notion that everybody would move in the same direction. And, you know, Hitler had made those comments that he should have had some purges along the lines that Stalin had done in his consolidation of power. But that wasn't the NSDAP's way. And, you know, I think, was Hitler serious about that? I'm not quite sure. But that wasn't the NSDAP's way to take their own people out and just summarily execute them because there was, they didn't quite follow lockstep. There was widespread policy and political disagreement. There was different factions in the within the NSDAP, and I think that there was a considerable amount of time spent within another division of the SS called the SD, which was Heydrich's division, which we're going to talk about in the second hour, which is different than the Gestapo, as well as another division within the Gestapo. We're running out of time here in the first hour. Right. I don't want to get into that in this first hour and then have us cut off. But, you had different agencies within the Gestapo. You had a whole different agency in the SD, which was Reinhard Heydrich's division, that was dealing with those, but they dealt with that on a case by case basis and remanded those to the German courts. And then in cases of high treason, those were carried out by the People's Court, of which Roland Freisler is most closely associated with. However, right, Roland Freisler wasn't the only People's Court judge.
All righty. We are at the top of our first hour. We will be back after station ID and a word from our sponsors at 6 minutes after the hour.